Bye. And Miss Janet Thomas is going to come here and help us this morning. For those of you who haven't got to meet Mike and Janet, they're relatively new to our church. But indeed, Janet has credentials through the Wesleyan Church. And we're glad that they're with us for a time while they're caring for parents and those kinds of things. And so she's going to be sharing a children's sermon. Just before she does that this morning, though, where is Amber? Oh, she's hidden. I can't get to her. She's way back there. Amber, can you come around behind Amanda? Can you get over here? Okay. This set, we wanted to leave the set so that you could see the set because Amber has spent the hours in preparation. She's had a great crew, but very wonderful set. And so we want to say thanks. It's not a big paycheck, but it's thanks from our heart.
Thank you. Thank you for all those you helped, prayed, donated. It doesn't, I'm
going to tell
you. Thank you.
All right. Mike and Janet are going to be helping while Pat and Carolyn are doing some traveling this summer in the spaces of their absence. And so we wanted you to get a chance to hear Janet and Mike this morning. So, Janet, share with us.
I'm very excited to be here with you. I enjoyed VBS, and you know what? When you guys were up there and smiling, you know what that made me do? Made me smile. Usually that happens. Do you know we can also make God smile? Oh, not the exact same way. We don't just look up and smile like, No, the Bible says we make God smile by believing that he is God and by wanting to get to know him better. You know, believing means we have to trust somebody. But let me ask you, can you trust everybody? No, because sometimes people say things that aren't true. And sometimes people make a promise and they really want to keep it, but something happens and they don't. But you know, God always keeps his promise and God always tells the truth. Now, I brought something today. It's in my pocket and it's to help you understand about believing. If I told you that what's in my pocket is something you've never seen before, that would be easy to believe, wouldn't it? Because maybe I brought my four-leaf clover. Anybody see my four-leaf clover before? Mine? No. Hey, yeah. But if I told you what's in my pocket is something you've never seen before and I've never seen before, is that easy to believe?
No.
That would be harder, wouldn't it? It would be hard to get it in my pocket unless somebody else put something in my pocket that I didn't know and I closed my eyes and they put it in my pocket. But what if I told you what's in my pocket is something that you've not seen and I've not seen and nobody else has ever seen before? Would that be easy to believe? No. Well, that's sometimes how we feel when God tells us something. We think, how can that be true? How can I give and get something back? I can give kindness and they're going to be kind back. Well, maybe they won't be. God's promises are always true and what he says is right. So I'm going to show you what I did bring, okay? Now, you may think you've seen that before, but if I open it up, inside I have two peanut kernels. And where have they been all their life? Inside the shell. So nobody has ever seen them before. In fact, you're the first people who have ever seen that peanut kernel. And you know what? You'll be the last one. If you are not allergic to peanuts, I'll let you have one when you leave. But I want you to remember that. That even when something is hard to believe because it doesn't make sense to us, if God said it, it's true. And if he promises it, he'll keep his promise. So let me pray for you before we go. Heavenly Father, I thank you so much for each one of these young people. They did a wonderful job singing and learning this week. And I just thank you so much that when you tell them a promise, you'll keep it. And when you tell them something, they can believe it because you are faithful. And we can put a smile on your face by believing you. In Jesus' name, amen. As the kids are heading down, we're going to worship. So let's stand and sing together.
Alone in my sorrow and death. Made a
Father, we're indeed grateful for the privilege and the opportunity to come into your presence. We thank you for the opportunity to worship you, to come and to say thank you to you for all that you have done for us, all you are to us. So Lord, we just pray now that in this service you'll have your will and your way. We thank you for what was accomplished in Bible school this week. We thank you for every worker. Thank you for every child. We thank you for every parent that allowed their kids to come. Father, we thank you that you made a way, that we would have a message to give to these young lives. We thank you for every decision that was made to follow you. We thank you for every recommitment, Lord, there was within a child's heart to say, I will continue to follow you. I will stay faithful. Lord, we thank you that here on this Lord's Day, here on a pre-4th of July weekend, vacations are happening and people are traveling and a lot of our folks are away from us. And so, Lord, we pray for your traveling mercies upon them. We thank you for those that you've brought back to us. Some have been away over the last week or so, and you've brought them home. We thank you for your safety and provision in their lives. Lord, we just continue to see ways that you watch over us and that you touch us and that you impact our lives. And a lot of stuff that sometimes we take for granted and maybe we don't acknowledge, but Lord, we just want to thank you today for life and for health. And speaking of which, Lord, we know there are those who may be not at the top of the game health-wise. Lord, this corrupted world, sin, disease, all these kinds of things have created difficulties for people in the way of their health. But you're the great physician. You're creator and sustainer. You're sovereign God. And we know that you know our bodies better than we. We know that you know exactly what ails everyone at every point. And so, Lord, we pray that you would touch and help and heal. We think particularly this morning of Kelly Rogers, who came through back surgery this week. And so, Lord, we pray that you would continue to do a healing work, that you'd take away the pain that he is feeling right now and the things that are post-surgery and pre-healing and all of those things. Lord, we just pray that you would speed that recovery and that you would cause all those pieces to meld back together the way they should be. And Lord, we just thank you for the fact that we know that you're able. We wouldn't pray these things just to be having something to say during the course of a service. We pray these things because, number one, we believe that you're real. We believe that there is a supreme sovereign being in heaven watching over us, who loves us, cares for us, knows everything about us, wants to hear from us, and wants to be involved in our lives. We believe that with all our hearts. And so, God, we come this morning to have conversation with you, to hear from you, to speak to you, and to allow you, Lord, to give us guidance and direction. We pray that you would just continue to help us as we think about the things that you have said, the letter that you've written to us. And Lord, as we continue to try to come into complete obedience and yielding our lives, Lord, we know that sin has made us to be selfish. We know that it is our nature to want to do things our own way and to be in charge. So, Lord, we pray that if we truly are committed to you, Lord, if we're past just wanting to miss hell, but if we are true followers of Jesus Christ, that we'll realize it's not about us. It's not about us being in control. We're not in charge, and it's not our stuff. We're here for a purpose, a heavenly, kingdom-ordained purpose. So, Lord, we want to come into an understanding of what that purpose is for our lives, and we want to live that out. So have your will and your way. Thank you for your love, for your involvement and investment in our lives. Lord, you know our situations. Take them and guide us through them. Make us overcomers and help us to be victorious. And we'll give you praise for it all. In the powerful and the wonderful name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and all God's people said, amen. 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 Amber, I need you to come again. I was going to do it a while ago, and I thought I didn't want to make you make so many trips back behind the drape here because we've got this beautiful set that we're celebrating here and working with this morning. But there's a candle on this table that needs to be lit. Why do we light the candle? Somebody got saved. Well, this past week we had approximately somewhere between 55 and 60 kids, I think, enrolled. They weren't all here, I don't think, on the same night at the same time, but through the course of the days, we had all of those kids here. And I don't know how much you guys pay attention to church growth or evangelism. I read this stuff all the time. And so I don't know if you understand the percentages that are going on in this day and time, but 85% of the people who come to Jesus Christ do so before age 18. That's why children's ministry is so important. Okay? Second thing is that when you get a group of people together, when you do mass evangelism, you figure if you get about a 1% return, that's kind of the norm or the average now. And it is a little higher with children, and we're thankful for that. In the course of this week, with about 60 kids involved, through the course of the week, there were 10 kids that raised their hand to receive Jesus Christ for the first time. For the first time. Yeah. You need to celebrate that. So you're talking about a sixth. So you're getting a 20% or so more return there, which is like huge. The goal now, and the thing that's even bigger than that, and I'm not really even, I don't know if Amber's looked at this yet or had a chance. She's been so busy with everything and still got to break some things down this afternoon. So if you want to help her with that, you can do that. Six or seven, there's one number that we're a little vague on. We're still trying to track a name down. But six or seven of those 10 kids were from outside our church. Three of those kids were from inside our church. But six or seven of those kids were kids that were here by invitation of someone else or having seen the marketing, and their parents brought them in. And so that's an outstanding number. And so to every one of you, because you see, we can celebrate the set and the things that we're doing. We can celebrate the teachers. We know that there's a lot that goes into Bible school that's peripheral. There's prayer. There's people giving resources. Some of you took things off the bulletin board. And so this is a team effort, folks. So when we light this candle and we celebrate those 10 salvations, you are all a part of that. If you prayed for Bible school, if you gave to Bible school, if you worked at Bible school, you had a hand in those children coming to Jesus Christ. And so that is significant, and we want to say thank you for that and for your involvement and your invested in that effort. And so we celebrate that today. And celebration is really kind of what we want to talk about. There are five lessons in most Bible schools because there are 5 days in the week. We run a four-day Bible school. And so, you know, for the last 4 weeks, we've been talking about when life was unfair and when life is scary and when life changes and when life is sad, that God is good. And today would be the fifth day. These kids have not even heard this because they didn't have a fifth day. So if you had a five-day Bible school, kids, this is the lesson that you would have learned. When life is good, God is good. So the real issue behind this is celebration, memorial, and remembering things so that it encourages us and helps us along the way. Our text this morning is found in Nehemiah chapter 4. It is a line out of the 14th verse, and the entire verse reads this way. After I looked things over, I stood up and said to the nobles, the officials, and the rest of the people, "Don't be afraid of them. Remember the Lord, who is great and awesome, and fight for your brothers, your sons and your daughters, your wives, and your homes." And so this comes out of the story of Nehemiah, who came under burden during prayer to go back to his home of Jerusalem and rebuild the walls of the city that had been destroyed, which they did in 52 days. But at this point in time, they were in the midst of that project, and they had a lot of naysayers, both from outside the walls, people who were not from Jerusalem, and a few people who were from inside Jerusalem who said it can't be done. There's always going to be a few of those. You know, there's always people on the inside who say, can't be done, won't work, you know. And so inside, outside, there's always some opposition. But what Nehemiah was saying to the people was this: remember the Lord, who is great and awesome. Remember the Lord, who is great and awesome. And sometimes we need to be reminded. of how awesome God is. Sometimes we need to be reminded of how great God is. And so we've been talking about this journey through all of these lessons. We've been talking about this journey and the exodus out of Egypt that the Israelite nation was on. And we've reached a point now in the biblical example today where they are crossing over into the promised land. And so I refer you back to the book of Joshua. And I want to read to you just a little bit from Joshua chapter 3, or actually from chapter 4. This actually, the lesson goes over chapters 3 and 4, where they're preparing to cross over the Jordan. And so we pick it up at chapter 4, beginning at verse 1. When the whole nation had finished crossing the Jordan, the Lord said to Joshua, "Choose 12 men from among the people, one from each tribe." There were 12 tribes of Israel. "And choose one man from each tribe and tell them to take up 12 stones from the middle of the Jordan, from right where the priest stood, and carry them over with you and put them down at the place where you stay tonight." So if you go back and read chapter 3, they're getting ready to cross into the promised land, but they have to cross over the Jordan. The Jordan River is at flood stage. How many of you have been watching the news the last few months? You've been seeing all these rivers that are flooded and they're spilling over the banks. The Jordan was at flood stage. They found a place where God recommended, and what he told them was this: get the whole camp up, go to the edge of the Jordan River, have the priest carry the Ark of the Covenant. The Ark of the Covenant was this kind of a shrine case that included manna and Aaron's rod and the Ten Commandments and several things that were of significance to the people. It was carried by a group of priests because it was a holy, sacred piece. And so the deal was, the priests are going to carry the Ark of the Covenant because we want the presence of God. The Ark of Covenant always represented the presence of God. And so we want the presence of God to go before us. And this is what God said to him: when the priests step into the water of the Jordan, when they step in, I'm going to part the waters. Familiar story. But significant that he said, when the priests step into the water, then I will part the waters. Meaning that if the priests get scared because the water's at flood stage and they walk up to the edge of the water but they don't step in, nothing's happening. You got to step into the water. The water that's scary. The water that's higher than normal. The water that's muddy. The water that's, you know, it's not a good time. This is not where you pick to cross the creek, you know. But God said, do it here and I will take care of it. When you step in the water, I'll part the waters. We're reminded, and Justin doesn't have this, he might be able to catch up with it, but in the fourth chapter of Joshua, if you go to the 23rd and 24th verse, it says this: "For the Lord your God dried up the Jordan before you until you had crossed over. The Lord your God did to the Jordan just what he had done to the Red Sea when he dried it up before us until we crossed over. He did this so that all the peoples of the earth might know that the hand of the Lord is powerful, and so that you might always fear the Lord your God." The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. I just realized I forgot to change over, Ted. Sorry about that. So now we're going to move to here. Sometimes I get excited and I get carried away. Thank you, Ted. So God has spoken now. God has given them specific direction. He said to this nation of Israel, okay, I want you to step into the Jordan. When you step into the Jordan, I'm going to part the waters. So now I want you to go get these 12 rocks. When you step into the water, get these 12 rocks. Bring them with you. Bring these 12 rocks. One man designated from each tribe is going to pick up a rock. And then when you get across the Jordan and into the Promised Land, we're going to stack the rocks up. We're going to create, in essence, an altar. We're going to create a memorial. How many of you have ever gone on a vacation and seen monuments? Somebody built something and they built it to commemorate something. They built it to remember something. They built it so that people would not forget about something. You know, all my life I'd heard the phrase, "Remember the Alamo." Finally, one year during General Assembly, they moved General Assembly to San Antonio. And I stayed in the Minger Motel, which is across the street from the Alamo. Now, I'm pretty sure the Alamo didn't look exactly like it did in its best days. But I stood on that ground. The ground of the stories of the men that I read in school, you know, like Davy Crockett and Daniel Boone and Bowie and all these people that came from all parts of the country that were developed at that point in time, came into a land that was not developed, a land called Texas. And they fought for our country. They fought for that, and they said, remember the Alamo. So the Alamo, what's left of the Alamo, is a monument to the sacrifice that those men made, giving their lives. These 12 stones were a monument to the belief in God that the Israelite nation had, so that they actually obeyed God and He parted the waters. And for a certain generation of this is a crowd that one generation has seen the parting of the Jordan, but the other generation saw the parting of the Red Sea. There were a few people that saw the Red Sea and the Jordan both parted. But we have a generation. Bible school, you know, was all about a new generation. And the reason that we need to remember things, the reason that we need to commemorate things, is because we want that generation coming behind us not to have absolutely no knowledge of how powerful and how miraculous our God can be. We want them to know that I was there, I saw it, I experienced, this is what that means, you know, or to historically say, well, I wasn't born yet, but this is what that's all about. And so these stones were erected to be a commemoration, a remembrance, so that every person who ever came by. I just saw something this past week. I'd never thought about this before. But a guy who likes to go to Egypt was talking about, he likes to make trips to Egypt, and he was saying in the background here behind me, it was a video thing, he said, in the background here behind me, you see these triangle things that are in Egypt. What do you call those? Pyramids. And so he said, behind me you see these pyramids. And just to put things into context, when Abraham obeyed God, these pyramids had already been standing for about 1,000 years. I remember in 2014 when Jennifer and I went to Europe. And I'm thinking about our great history. I love the stories of history in our nation. All 300 years of it. And I'm going into places in France and Belgium and Germany, and it has a stone on the building. It says, this building erected in 1111. And I'm seeing things that have not 300 years of history, but some of them 3,000 years of history. And I'm just kind of blown away. But how exciting to set foot in a place that I read about or saw a picture in a book as a kid in a school class. You know, to see the reality of that. And so we want to move our kids, we want to move the adults, friends that we have, we want to move them to an understanding of God that brings them into reality so that they know God is for real, not the figment of somebody's imagination. He's not just a story in a book. But the book is about Him. And here is who He is. And so when we think about commemoration, when we think about memorials, when we think about making these remembrances, we want to think about the reasons that we have to celebrate. And so, you know, we find those very things defined in the Word of God. And we can go to Psalm chapter 145, and we begin to think about who God is and how God is. And the Scripture reads like this in verses 3 through 7 of the 145th Psalm. Great is the Lord and most worthy of praise. His greatness no one can fathom. One generation will commend your works to another. They will tell of your mighty acts. They will speak of your glorious splendor, your majesty, and I will meditate on your wonderful works. They will tell of the power of your awesome works, and I will proclaim your great deeds. They will celebrate your abundant goodness and joyfully sing your righteousness. And so, God, we talked about how God is good. And so it says right here, talking about God's goodness and God's righteousness. We want our children to grow up knowing there's a God who is good and righteous, and He desires a relationship with them. He loves them. He sent His Son to die for them. We want them to know all this stuff. We want them to understand that that's a real personality. He's not just a story in a book, but he's a reality. And so we celebrate. We come to church and we celebrate His goodness and His righteousness. And here we look back into this story that we've been talking about for the last several weeks. And if we go back to Exodus chapter 12. In verse 14, it says this: "This is a day you are to commemorate." The day he's talking about is the day they were delivered out of Egypt. This is a day you are to commemorate. Talk about the Passover, where the death angel came. The final plague that allowed them to go out of Egypt was the death of the firstborn of all the Egyptians. And they painted their doorposts with the blood, and the death angel passed over. And so they celebrated that continually every year, the Passover. That's how God set things up for them to be delivered out of Egyptian bondage. "This is the day you are to commemorate for the generations to come. You shall celebrate it as a festival to the Lord, a lasting ordinance." And so all throughout history, God has been giving the people instruction that he wants them to remember the things that have been accomplished. He wants them to commemorate these things. He wants them to celebrate these things. And so, you know, when things happen, we celebrate them. We want to celebrate God's character. We want to celebrate all of his holiness and his splendor and his power. And we want to celebrate the things historically, the reason we're here today. If those Hebrews hadn't gotten delivered out of Egypt, we wouldn't be here today. That whole story wouldn't have developed. History would not have gone down the way it did had God not delivered his people. And here's the deal. As we come out of the past and we get into the present, it's those things that happened in the past that allow things to continue to happen in the present. Let's move our minds from the Old Testament to the New Testament for a moment this morning and look at the 15th chapter of the book of Luke. And this is what it says in Luke 15:7. "I tell you that in the same way, there will be more rejoicing in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous persons who do not need to repent." And then we can look down in that same chapter about the 31st verse. And we read this: My son, the father said, "You are always with me and everything I have is yours. But we had to celebrate and be glad because this brother of yours was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found." And the very reason that we started lighting this candle, this is a physical remembrance. And isn't it great that now when we say, "Why are we going to light this candle?" that everybody in the church says, "Because somebody got saved." Instead of it maybe just being one person says, "Well, the reason you light that candle is because somebody got saved." Everybody else goes, "I have no clue why you're lighting that candle." Everybody knows now when we light this candle, it's because we've been able to connect someone to our God. And we want to celebrate that. The angels in heaven celebrate that. So why should they get to do all the partying? We want to party too. So when they rejoice, we rejoice. Because it's important. And you know what breaks my heart? Is even as I think about this, it's one thing to say we had Bible school and 10 people prayed to receive Christ, but if 7 of those people are not connected to a church, if 7 of those young people are not connected anyplace, then it's very possible. We're not passing any judgments. We're not drawing any conclusions. But if they don't have a church home and if they're not connected, it's very possible that their parents may not feel capable of telling them how to keep the journey going. There's a story in the book of Matthew. It's called the parable of the sower. And it talks about how people can get the word and they spring up quickly, but the sun and the heat of the day and the things of life choke them out and they lose out. Of that whole old deal, 75% of the people in the parable of the sower don't end up going to heaven. 75% of the people who start the journey in the parable of the sower who take the word and receive it according to that parable. If you read it, it says 75% of them lose out. We're talking about kids, some of them as young as 3 years old. They think like a 3-year old. They only have 3 years worth of information. They're not going to make it on their own. The reason we commemorate, the reason that we remember, the reason that we want to try to connect with them and invite them to other events in the church and try to give them a place to have a church home is so that they can be exposed to Sunday school or they can be exposed to preaching. And so there's this ongoing continuum in their life from the time that they're 3 until they die and go to heaven or Jesus raptures them out of here. That they're continually having the opportunity to know and grow in Jesus Christ. That is our responsibility. So we can't whoop and holler and say we connected 10 people to God. Well, good luck. And so we commemorate these things because it helps us to be encouraged and to move forward in dealing with them. Now, when I was a kid, you know, we talk about celebrations. We talk about all the things that we do. When I was a kid, one of the first things I learned about prayer was God is great and God is good. Now, like any good Christian, that prayer is really all about eating. I don't know what it is about Christians. We just like to gather around food. You know, we're gonna have church tonight. It's going to be around food. We're going to have a picnic. The point of the picnic is to get you to hear, you know, here to hear the real message. If you'll come tonight, you'll hear the story of a man who was experiencing success, but doing it his way. And a man who came into a transforming life experience with Jesus Christ. And while I love his music, I love his heart much, much more. And so, yes, I wanted him to share his music with you. But the real thing is I want you to come and hear his heart. I want you to see a life transformed and someone who's excited about living and loving Jesus Christ. And so that'll be a great time tonight. But we pray that prayer, God is great and God is good. And so when we think about commemoration, that's what we're celebrating. That's what we're remembering. That's what we're trying to pass on to the next generation, is there's a God in heaven who loves them and is all powerful and all knowing and can help them get through anything in life. Not that he's going to deliver them from every little thing and they won't have hardship, but they'll never go through hardship alone. And they will go through hardship with someone who has overpowering capability. That's what we want them to know. That's what we want to remember. And so part of this remembrance and part of this commemoration has to do with verbal testimony. How many of you grew up in the old days where they used to have church, they specifically called the testimony service? What you're going to do most of that night is brag on God. Yeah, you're going to get up and talk about God. The problem was that we kind of took testimony services and turned them into things about, well, I want to just say this is what I've been going through and da-da-da-da-da. You know, testimony services are supposed to be bragging on God. Testimony services are not supposed to be what I'm going through. Testimony service is about what God delivered me from. You know, and we talk about how good God is, not how rough life is. So it's okay, because sometimes those stories encourage other people. But if we're not careful, we kind of move off the center beam. And the testimony service becomes about us instead of about him. If you go back into the Old Testament, there's a passage of Scripture in 1 Chronicles chapter 16. That David was cranking out one of his psalms. And it goes like this. Give thanks to the Lord. Call on his name. Make known among the nations what he has done. Sing to him. Sing praise to him. Tell of all his wonderful acts. Glory in his holy name. Let the hearts of those who seek the Lord rejoice. Look to the Lord and his strength. Seek his face always. Remember the wonders he has done, his miracles, and the judgments he pronounced. When we talk about 10 people coming to Christ, the only reason we can talk about that is not because of what we did building a set, or turning on the air conditioner, inviting some people in. The only reason we can build a set and turn the air on is because Jesus died on the cross. Without that, we got nothing to tell. So everything that happens in the course of those days leads to, for God so loved the world, he sent his son. And so the truth of the matter is, everything in our life, everything that's going on in our life, we ought to seize the opportunities we have to say to people, God loved me so much, he sent his son for me, and he did the same for you. And we give people an opportunity to connect with that God by commemorating, by testifying to what God has done in our lives. And the Psalms are full of this. And let me just read one to you, Psalms chapter 75 and verse 1. We give thanks to you, O God. We give thanks to your name, for your name is near. Men tell of your wonderful deeds. We need to be talking about God. Now, there are a lot of people who use God's name. I made a guy mad one time because he was saying some things. And I said, excuse me. I said, could I just let you know that I know God and his last name's not Damn. Now, that didn't sit well with that guy. And in my younger years, sometimes my good intentions got interpreted, you know, as a wisecrack. And so sometimes that doesn't pan out well. But the bottom line is, don't you get tired of people taking your Lord and Savior, taking your Heavenly Father, and freely throwing their name around as if it's an insignificant thing? But here's what needs to happen. We don't need to get mad at them. We don't need to try to make some smart remark. We need to pray for them. We need to love on them. Because that's exactly what God did for us. He came to this world and loved on us. We don't have to agree with some of the things we see. We don't have to support or endorse those things. There aren't any burps that are bigger than me. I can out-preach any burp in the world. Kids will be kids. And I'd a whole lot rather have burping kids in church than be out there somewhere and not know about Jesus. So it doesn't mess me up too much. So we just keep our focus. The church is full of symbols. The church is full of things that are commemoration. Two probably the most prominent and significant things that happen in the church are commemorations. That is a memorial. That is a monument. That is a remembrance. That is a symbol. It gets them all. Matter of fact, it speaks so loudly that there are people that are offended by it and want it taken down. Don't want it in a public place because they think that elevates Christianity over everything else, because the cross has become the symbol of Christianity. Now, stop and think about what the cross is. The cross was execution. The cross was punishment. There were crosses long before Jesus came to earth. Not before Jesus, but before he came to earth. And the cross was an ugly thing then. But because of what God did on the cross through his son Jesus, the cross became something very different. And now is the symbol of hope and help to all of us. A symbol that's recognized by the world. Maybe not recognized for all that it is, but recognized that it connects people to God. Another thing that we do is because of what's written on the front of this table. Do this in remembrance of me. And monthly we try to take communion, the bread, the juice to represent the body and the blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Those are commemorations. Those are memorials. Those are things that remind us of who God is and how God is. These are the things that we want our children to know. These are the things that we want our kids to... You know, I'm glad, and I get it. When kids are small, they don't want juice and crackers because of the blood and the body of Jesus Christ. They just want to know that if you're eating, they get to eat too. But what a great thing when kids ask questions and you can teach lessons. Seize the moments. Use the opportunities to help them understand, to help them know and appreciate. Don't make it insignificant. You know, it's really not a bad thing if young people have to wait for stuff once in a while. Because waiting creates longing. And keeping their attention focused in the right place is not a bad thing. Revelation chapter 5. When we think about all of these remembrances and all of these observances, when we think about God is good, we want to celebrate God, we want to get that message out there. I'm reminded of a passage of Scripture, and in just a moment we're going to sing a song. It says, "Worthy is the Lamb." This is what the passage says in the book of Revelation. Revelation chapter 5, beginning at verse 11. "Then I looked and heard the voice of many angels, numbering thousands upon thousands, and 10,000 times 10,000, They encircled the throne and the living creatures and the elders. In a loud voice they sang, "Worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and wealth and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and praise." Then I heard every creature in heaven and on earth and under the earth and on the sea and all that's in them singing, "To him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb be praise and honor and glory and power forever and ever." We've had a good week. We had a great week. 10 people. Maybe not totally comprehending, maybe not totally understanding, but 10 people heard a story and said, I want to be connected to that Jesus. I want to have that Jesus in my heart. What a powerful thing. That's why we're here. That's why we do what we do. So we want to continue to teach them about the God in heaven who loves them. We want to continue to do the things that will help them remember. We want to continue to do the things that give them the opportunity to successfully make it through a lifetime and still be connected to Jesus. We don't want them to give up. We don't want them to turn loose. We don't want them to lose hope. You never know, you know. I look across this crowd this morning and I would say, I think most of the people out here have accepted Jesus Christ. But you don't always know. And I've come to find out sometimes that people have been in church for years. And the truth is, while they've grown up observing religion, the truth is they've never personally gotten involved. They like being around good people. They like moral situations. They like the music of the church. They just do because they just do. But somewhere along the line, when pinpointed, and you say, "When did you confess your sin and accept Jesus Christ into your heart?" They say, "Well, I don't know if I've ever done that." So just like we gave children the opportunity this past week, I would be amiss if I didn't give an opportunity this morning. That if there's somebody who has never really actually accepted Jesus Christ, I mean, why would we want to walk away from this place and rob somebody of that opportunity? And so we're going to pray a prayer. For those of you who already know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, this is an opportunity to ask God, "Lord, how can I testify more effectively? What can I do to commemorate your relationship to me in my life? And how can I create a memorial that other people can see and share Christ with people?" If you're here this morning, though, no matter what age you are, young or old, if you're here and you've never really just point blank said, "I'm a sinner." Because the truth of the matter is, while we're not looking to offend anybody or make anybody mad, the truth of the matter is, if you've never accepted Jesus Christ into your life, if you've never confessed your sins personally asking Christ to forgive you, you're a sinner. And I'm just going to tell you, don't mean to offend you, I'm just going to tell you the facts because I want you to know the truth. If you've never prayed a prayer of repentance, you're going to hell. Not because I say so. Not because I want you to. Because if you've never seized the only way that God can get you out, that's where you're headed. And you won't go there because God sends you. You'll go there because you choose to. Because God doesn't want you to go. That's why He sent Jesus. And every one of us, no matter who we are or what our history is, if we've not prayed that prayer, "Lord, I'm a sinner, please forgive me," we can do that in a moment of time, and God will come. Because He wants to. He's just waiting on you because He won't force His way in. So bow your heads with me this morning. Father, we come to you in Jesus' name. We want to do everything in Jesus' name. That means to do it like Jesus would. To be associated with Jesus. Lord, that's what we want. We want to be associated with Jesus. And so, Lord, if there's anyone here this morning who's never said, "I'm a sinner in need of a Savior. I confess my sins. I want you to forgive me and come into my heart." Lord, I just like encourage them to say those words this morning. And you'll come into their heart. Lord, we'd love to be able to identify with that. And if they would like to come forward and acknowledge that, we would love to pray with them. We'd love to share that testimony. We'd love to celebrate that. And we'd love to punch the devil right in the face. So, Lord, if there's anybody here like that today, we'd just love to celebrate with them. And we'd love for them to acknowledge that to us so that we can celebrate with them. Lord, for those of us who've already accepted Jesus Christ, we realize that we still haven't got perfect down yet. And every once in a while, we still do stupid stuff. Sometimes we do rebellious stuff. Sometimes we still get more wrapped up in ourselves than in our Savior. And so, Lord, we want to keep our relationship current and up to date, and so we confess to you. We confess to you our shortcomings and our failure. And Lord, we believe that it is possible to make right choices with God's help and to do right things. And that's how we want to live. And so, Lord, we just want to pray to continue to pursue you with all of our heart. I would love this morning, if there's anyone here who maybe prayed that sinner's prayer for the first time, we'd love for you to come and just let me know. I'd like to pray with you. And we'd love to celebrate with you this morning. If you're here and you prayed that prayer, we just invite you to come and speak to me. But for the rest of us, as we hear this song this morning, either sing along or just contemplate the words that you're hearing. And let us celebrate Jesus and our Heavenly Father today with the commemoration that the Lamb certainly is worthy of all the praise we have to offer.
Thank you for the cross, Lord. Thank you for the price.
the back side of your Connect card, it's a verse of Scripture from Psalms. Remember the wonders He has done, His miracles and the judgment He pronounced. We want to be remembering God. We want to help other people to acknowledge and to remember God. And so, you know, celebrate who God is and what He does. Sometimes just read the Psalms and read about how great and wonderful God is. Think about the stories of history, you know, Daniel in the lion's den and David and Goliath and the Hebrew children in the fiery furnace. And you know, that's your God. That's my God. The guy who did all that stuff can still do all that stuff for us. You know, He didn't stop doing stuff because He got old. God doesn't age. He just always is. And He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And so we want to tap into that kind of mindset. Mark spiritual victories and milestones. We need to celebrate. We look at how we live life. We celebrate birthdays. We graduate. We have graduation parties. We party over all kinds of stuff. And everything's a big deal. Your spiritual birthday is a big deal. You know, there's all kinds of things that happen in your spiritual growth, moving from maybe just confessing and accepting Jesus Christ the first time to coming to a point of Him being Lord and Master of your life. There's all kinds of milestones in your journey to say, hey, this has made a difference. This is a different deal. Celebrate those milestones. When you have the opportunity to pray with somebody else, celebrate that God let you tell somebody about Him. You know, I think the problem is we just don't make a big enough deal out of spiritual things. You know? So let's celebrate. God is victorious. Tonight we're going to come here, and before we turn the platform over to Bob, I've already talked to Amanda, and we're going to sing about 5 or 6 old hymns. We're not going to sing all 14 verses of all of them, but we're going to sing the first and last verse of several familiar things. So some of you who've been longing, you know, to hear some of the things you used to hear when you were a kid growing up, we're going to do it tonight, okay? So we're going to sing some of those hymns. Bob's got some great music. He writes most of his own music. So you're not going to ever have heard it before. You're going to have heard the message. You know, it's just a different way to present the message. But he's a great guy. And what I want you to hear is his testimony. And his wife is on our prayer list. We've been praying for her. She's been getting good reports on her cancer. And so we're going to celebrate that. We're going to celebrate with them. And they're going to come and eat with us. And we're going to have a big old time. So the fried chicken is going to be there. Somebody's got to come eat it. Okay. So bring the potato salad and the baked beans and all those kinds of things. And come, and we're going to celebrate. Bring sandwiches in case there's somebody that doesn't like fried chicken. Yeah, we'll have some sandwiches and stuff. We'll bring some other things, desserts. We'll find a way to get you tied it over until you can get back home, you know, after church. But we're going to have a big old time celebrating Jesus and worshiping our God. And we're going to do it together with the family of God. And so we encourage you to come be back. Picking at the picnic, that's 5:30. 5:30, not 6 o'clock. We want to be saying the prayer and putting you in line to eat at 5:30, which means bring your stuff before 5:30. So we'll be ready to go. We're going to have a big old time. And I realize it's the pre-weekend of the 4th of July. You may have something going on. I get that. But we're going to come together as a family. This is an all-church gathering. So we want everybody that wants to come. We're going to have fun. And we're going to celebrate Jesus. So come and do that. Allow the memories, allow the milestones, allow the victories to encourage you to have continual progress. You know, yes, on one hand we forget the past, but on another hand we remember and it moves us into the future. You know, the God who split the Red Sea and the God who split the Jordan River can split whatever's holding you up in your life. He can handle that. He can give you dry ground to cross over onto. So just remember Him and love Him, and He'll help you through your life. Going to ask our ushers to come at this time if they will. You have your Connect cards. And your tithes and offerings. God loves you. Love Him back. And we can change the world. You and God constitute a majority. He's in control. Brother John, come. Ask God's blessing on the offering for us today.
We thank you, Lord, for this time to worship you even farther by giving of our tithes and our offerings, by giving of ourselves, by giving you praise and glory. Father, we pray that you will bless the giver, bless the offering the only way that you can, and make it grow, may it be used to further your kingdom. In Jesus' name, amen.
If there's some of you who would like to help, particularly some of our fellows, we're going to move out those three back rows, those three back rows, those two back rows, and those two back rows. We're going to bring those tables out, which are, by the way, tables that were purchased through your capital funds giving that we now own. And so we're going to make a place in the back so that we'll have a place to eat tonight. We hopefully won't be able to contain everybody in the fellowship hall. But even if we can, it's a casual evening. You don't have to wear your suit and tie. It's a casual evening, but we're going to have the round table. We're going to have these seats in the front for those of you who just want to come into a regular seat. If you don't want to come and eat, we'll probably get going with the singing about 6 o'clock somewhere in that area. And so you can come in after supper. If you want to come here and be part of the picnic, why come in? But we're going to set up those tables. And so, guys, we're going to take those black tables. We're going to move right back in that overflow room. Rennie will probably move the bars both parallel to the wall. We use it for drinks tonight. But we're just going to have a great time. And I'm so glad we have this multi-purpose building. It is not only the sanctuary of God. It's always the sanctuary of God. But it's a place where we fellowship and love on each other as well. God likes that. He smiles on that. Okay? He likes you having a good time in His name and celebrating Him. So we're going to make those adjustments, and that'll save some time and trouble tonight. And so it's just going to be a great time. Have a restful afternoon. Stand with me. May the grace of God spill into your life. May the love of Jesus flow from your heart into the lives of others. Go in His love and His mercy and share Him to everyone you meet. And all God's people said, amen.